Today on the Callahan Podcast, well, it is over. Say goodnight to the bad guy. Donald J. Trump, like all evil dictators, quietly got on the chopper, headed to Air Force One, and went home, allowing for the peaceful transfer of power to the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration, which reached out its loving arms, grabbed all those dissidents and Trump supporters, and crushed them. And now we get to watch big tech and big media just try to snuff out all opposition to the new administration. But we'll give you some of the highlights. We'll look back on some of the accomplishments from Donald Trump and look at some of the idiotic things he did, including some of the pardons he gave at the last minute and didn't give in the last minute. Also, Fox News makes some changes. Bed Bath & Beyond bows to the mob, which is very, very disappointing. And Tom Shattuck makes his picks for big championship weekend, and he hasn't gotten one wrong yet. We'll get to all that and much more on today's Callahan Podcast, brought to you by DCU. Why do DCU members love their free checking accounts? It's simple. No monthly maintenance fees, no minimum balance, no strings attached. What's better is with direct deposit to their free checking account, DCU members can get paid up to 2 days early. Zero monthly maintenance fees, zero monthly balance, zero reasons not to switch. They'll even remove the hassle of switching your direct deposits and automatic payments from your current checking account. Learn more and apply today at dcu.org/free-checkin. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, Callahan, let's go.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
All right, we're looking live. We're looking live at the Marine One helicopter, the chopper, landing on the south lawn, waiting to pick up the president of the United States. I guess he's forever President Donald J. Trump. That's another thing that the media won't like, the liberals won't like, that he's always going to be president, even if they impeach him, right? He's going to be Donald, President Trump. It was four wild, disruptive years. It's all over today. Trump is breaking with traditions as he leaves. He's not attending the inauguration. He's not walking in the procession, and he's not spying on a successor. That's one of the traditions, recent traditions, which you do when you're a sitting president in your final days. 4 years ago today, Barack Obama and Joe Biden were busy spying on the Trump campaign, advancing a smear campaign, lying about Russian connections and Putin meddling and all that to try to destroy the Trump presidency before it began. So that's how it began, this presidency. That's how these four crazy years began, with Barack Obama and Joe Biden trying to destroy him before he took office. You expect that guy to go to the inauguration and shake hands with these guys and schmooze and smile and pretend that they didn't try to destroy him? Of course he shouldn't be at the inauguration. Well,
this is like your number one thing, right, Jerry? Like, this is why you like him the most. Like, if you hate somebody, don't act like you like him, right?
Yeah,
no matter what. Like, if you hate him, you hate him. Don't.
And we're going to get to his accomplishments and his regrets. Well, and our regrets with Shattuck. We've kept pretty good records here. I got a list of things that I like, things that I don't, and I'll start with the things that I don't. Shattuck, he didn't make the ballsy move and pardon Julian Assange. So here's how I look at it right now. The swamp is thrilled. John Brennan is thrilled. Clapper, Comey, they're happy. Struck, all of Trump's enemies, including Biden and Obama and Hillary Clinton, are happy. They didn't want Assange or Snowden pardoned, and he cooperated. One last thing he did that's kind of disappointing is he didn't pardon anybody of significance, unless you count Lil Wayne, and I don't.
Well, I have no problem with Lil Wayne, actually. I like him. He's actually a pro-cop guy, and that is
I don't care.
It was for
I don't care.
Plus, I don't know what he did wrong. He pardoned plenty of people, Jerry. He didn't pardon the Tiger King, which would have been nice.
No. I was, if he pardoned the Tiger King and not Assange, that would have been nauseating, but he did not. And according to reports, the Tiger King thought he was getting pardoned. So maybe that was good. Maybe he teased him and thought he was going to get freed, and he didn't. So that's good.
They had the limo waiting. They had aerial coverage of the limo waiting.
They were ready to celebrate.
Yeah. He should have pardoned the Tiger King, because the Tiger King was like Trump. He had 1,000 hustles going, you know, and never.
Oh, he's a scumbag, the Tiger King. Please. Well,
just because Snowden was, you know, canonized by Tucker Carlson two nights ago doesn't mean that he's a good guy.
Assange. See, I judge these things on, like I said, I always say, I vote the way, if I have trouble deciding how to vote, I look at the Boston Globe and I do the opposite. That's how I make my decisions. When you look at the list of people who are dead set against a pardon for Assange, these are just the worst of the worst, these people. And then yesterday we found out the biggest opponent of the potential pardon was Mitch McConnell. So good. Put this, all the swamp creatures on a list and say every one of them didn't want Assange to get pardoned. So I said, Trump, this is your last act as the royal, the chief disruptor, which is why we sent him there, which is what he was. Your last act, pardon Assange and piss off every one of these detestable swamp creatures. He didn't do it, Tom Shattuck. I'm very disappointed. This is not the way he should be going out, pardoning Lil Wayne. And we'll get to some of his other pardons. Steve Bannon. Mm-hmm. Steve Bannon, you know what his crime is, right? Bilking diehard Trump supporters, stealing from people who are so supportive of Trump that they were willing to donate to a scheme that was purportedly to build a wall. So that if you're that supportive of the wall, that excited about the wall, that you write a check to Steve Bannon, say, good, I'm going to donate, because we know that the Democrats and the, you know, this establishment was against the wall. We want to get the wall built. So Bannon and his buddies schemed and scammed loyal Trumpkins out of their money, and Trump pardons him? That's what the hell is that about?
He's on the ground floor of the movement. Without Steve Bannon, Trump would never have had his ascension. So at least it's the pardon period of a presidency in a lame duck session is when all the scumbaggery takes place. So I understand why he did it for Steve Bannon. I think Bannon's an immoral guy, and you know, I'm not surprised that he was wetting his beak with the Trump fans with the MAGA money. But I mean, Trump owes him. Bannon brought Trump to the heights.
But consider what he's pardoning for. It's not like, you know, with Roger Stone, which you could say it's a political setup that the guy didn't do much of anything and was being persecuted because he's a Trump guy. Bannon was ripping off Trump guys, allegedly. We're done. We're hours away. He's getting on the chopper any minute now, heading to Palm Beach. I'm going to guess he will be teeing it up by noon. He's going to want to show. He's just for show, even if he's tired and has other things to do, he's going to go to the golf course to show that he's not bothered by this at all. He's ready. He's moving on, enjoying his retirement, even though this is killing him, even though he feels like they stole the election and he feels like he was screwed here. And in many ways he was. I mean, there's no other way to look at it when you consider what big tech and the big media did. And we'll get to the media, because God, they have wasted no time. They didn't even wait for the inauguration to start slobbering all over the feeble, frail, disoriented 46th president of the United States, or even more, the 47th president. They are just swooning over the 47th president. She got her way. She got a new cover for Vogue, which is important because, you know, I'm going to go buy them both. I want both covers because they're historic. She had one with sneakers on, and she's very, you know, hip, but didn't like it. Didn't think it was dignified enough. So they complained. Her people complained to Vogue. They got a new cover without sneakers. And I just think that's wonderful. It shows you that there's going to be a symbiotic relationship. We're going to be real cooperation between the administration and the media. It's going to be worse, Shattuck, than we ever imagined. It is. They're going to drop any pretense of objectivity. They don't care. Professionalism, forget it.
No, I love it, Jerry, too. And you know what's funny? Last week we talked about that Biden briefing where afterwards he shuffled over to the table. He looked at his trapper keeper that was on the table. He used both hands to carry it as much as he could. Then he looked out at the audience. Somehow his mind respawned at that moment, and he was horrified and afraid, you know, like most senile people are. Looked out at the audience. Somebody had to snap him back into it, and then he shuffled off. We're going to see more scenes like that. While they're gaslighting us, the media is gaslighting us by not mentioning that we're watching an event happen, and they're going to act like that. No, this is absolutely, there's nothing. SNL will be so far away from any jokes about that. Remember, with Reagan, SNL, it was a running joke that Reagan lost his mind.
Right. That was funny. That's when senility dementia was funny, when Reagan was allegedly going through it. This guy's being elected while he's in the throes of dementia. It's going to get, and I won't blame him for not joking about it, because it's going to get deadly serious as we watch him deteriorate on the job. And I think it's going to be uncomfortable for everyone. I don't think it'll be a laughing matter. At some point, it's going to be sad, and they're going to have to have doctors step in. He's going to step down, including his wife, Dr. Jill.
Yes.
She'll make her medical diagnosis, and she'll say it's over. We got to move on.
Right.
They did what they set out to do. They defeated the great disruptor. They reestablished the swamp, the establishment. Everybody's happy now. We're done with this idea of seeing what's behind the curtain. Trump was without a doubt the most transparent presidency of my lifetime. You got to see things, hear things that you never should have, could have imagined. We're back to doing these things behind the curtain. We're back to, spying on people, surveillance. The great surveillance state is taking hold. We're going to stop focusing on foreign enemies and concentrate on domestic terrorists now, white supremacists who including members of Congress, who gave tours so that their friends could case the joint before they invaded on January 6th. But we'll get to that. I think today, right now, you look and you say, what's the legacy? And I mean, I think it's very simple, Trump's legacy. I think he disrupted everything. He just rattled Washington to its core. That was his job. That was his goal. Did some great things, mm-hmm. did some stupid things, said some dumb things, tweeted some dumb things. But in the end, we're going to look back and say that was this town needed an enema, and that's what he gave it, a kick in the ass. He gave it whatever you want to call it, and I appreciate it. I hope someday we get another guy like that, who is in 4 years a disruptor, a guy, an anti-establishment guy, a guy who challenges the swamp, who doesn't tweet so many dumb things, who mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily pardon Lil Wayne. But or worry so much about his own legacy, his own reputation. All Trump cared about was, do I get the credit? Do I get the credit? That was a little annoying. But in the end, he did not everything, clearly, but he did a lot of what he set out to do.
Yeah, well, the end, I think, was the disgraceful part. From November to now has been disgraceful. He abdicated. He's been AWOL. Even in the last 2 weeks, you would figure that he'd be on TV every day. A president would be on TV every day assuring people that there's not an uprising happening. But that's not where his mind is. He thinks he won the election. So he cracked during the election. But before that, I think that his casting off Washington egg-headed bureaucracy and the lecturing professorial technique of talking to the American people, like Obama used, that Biden's not capable of using, absolutely. Trump's policy on ISIS was to tell the generals, do whatever you need to do to kill all the ISIS. And they said, okay, and they did. Obama overthought it, and he said, no, the entanglements, and we want to make sure that we can use some appeasement, and we're not going to... have untethered generals. There could be civilian casualties.
Right.
And Obama overthought it, and ISIS flourished because it was Obama and his team of Ivy League know-it-alls, Susan Rice, and all the rest.
They're back, Shattuck.
They are back.
It's good news for ISIS. It's good news for Iran. It's bad news for Israel. It's bad news for our oil, our energy independence. First thing Biden's going to do is shut down the Keystone Pipeline, which is good for the environment, but it's throwing a bone to the extremists out there. That's good for Russia. That's good for Iran. Mm-hmm. That's good for our dependence on foreign oil and our
and that's clearly the Keystone Pipeline is clearly just transactional to the far left extremists, because Justin Trudeau is a Keystone Pipeline guy. You'd think that Biden would want to build bridges with Trudeau. But that's a total throwaway. That's a stick at an FU to people who are working the energy fields in Pennsylvania all those people that Biden's from. Remember, he had a grandfather working in the coal mines.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, he didn't, but he made that up. Hang on. Hold that thought. I got to talk about our new sponsor, GovX.com. That's GovX.com. As we all know, uniformed professionals sign up to serve causes greater than themselves. If you've ever served in the military, law enforcement, firefighting, or frontline medical communities, you are eligible for free membership in GovX.com, the greatest online shopping site for Americans of service like you. Your job demands a lot from you, from deployments to long shifts and the dangerous situations most people don't have the courage to face. There's a reason why GovX believes service-minded patriots like you deserve special recognition. GovX.com delivers the deals on all the gear you need for your on- and off-duty life. Register at GovX for instant access to discounts on epic brands like Oakley, Yeti, Garmin, Vortex Optics, Benchmade, Danner, and more. The site was built exclusively for the men and women who serve our country and communities. That's why every month GovX supports nonprofits serving the military, first responder, or law enforcement communities. We don't just thank you for your service, we honor it. Signing up is fast and easy and totally free. Become a member today and use code Callahan for $15 off your first order of $50 or more. GovX.com, savings for those who serve. It is war on working people is what it is. You're letting in 20 million illegal aliens, driving down wages. Well, you're shutting down the pipeline, which is great. Those are great jobs. Those are great working class jobs. You're relying on foreign oil. I mean, this is not good for the economy, but that's okay. As we learned yesterday, I think it was the New York Times that reported it and everyone else mocked it, that their approach to the economy is going to be more based on racial justice, climate change, and less on the GDP and other metrics. The economy's not going to be about, you know, economics.
Right,
it's going to be about social justice.
Yes,
which is frightening. I mean, I just tweeted, "God help us," and that's my only response to this insane.
It's a woke economy, Jerry. It's a woke economy. So it's not about the balance sheet anymore. Right. It's not about the bottom line. It's about chits you get in the woke. In the woke contest. Not only that, but talk about the early casualties, as you just mentioned, raising the minimum wage immediately. That's a torpedo to small businesses. At this time in this country, raising the minimum wage is a terrible thing to do completely. And also, yes, he's going to do amnesty, but not right now. They want to do it in a systematic way that's going to involve, you know, giveaways to all sorts of progressive parties. But right now, of course, there are Honduran, caravans coming up, and Joe Biden's saying, "No, don't come up." I thought that was xenophobia, Jerry. I thought that means you're climbing up the ladder, then pulling the ladder up after you.
Right.
Whatever happened to that?
He's telling the Honduran immigrants. They were a benefit to America. They were they were a good thing. Let's bring them on. That's Trump. That's the Biden inauguration parade. The one in D.C. was canceled or downside. The other one, the one coming up from Honduras. All systems go. You're right. I love how this was reported, this minimum wage hike to $15. Everyone, it's wonderful, and all Bernie bros were happy. In the report, it said it'll cost 1.3 million jobs. And these aren't, you know, white-collar jobs. These are blue-collar jobs, working-class jobs. It's going to cost jobs, but they don't care. It's another just throwing a bone to the radical nut jobs like AOC.
Yes, and it's going to hurt, you know, brown and black people most, because, you know, a barrier to entry is job experience, and these low paying jobs give people experience, give you a resume, get you in the door to get a better job, and we're getting rid of those.
It's kids, college, high school kids, college kids. It's people's second job. It's not full time people trying to support a family. For the most part, they're not the minimum wage people who will be fired or laid off. It's just going to fast track the whole, you know, the automated world. Like when you're going into a fast food place, they're going to say, you know, we could do it with robots, and the hell with these kids. But it doesn't matter. It's all about appearances. Reality, the actual real world effects on people are irrelevant. It's how does it look to his friends at the New York Times? How does it look to his friends at NPR? That's what matters most, his friends on the radical left. But we'll get to, but we have, I don't know, 12, 14, 18 months to talk about President Biden. He's going to be there for, I'm optimistic. I think he'll hang in there for a good year and a half before, Kamala ascends to the throne. And then it really gets nauseating. But here's what somebody called Trump, and I 100% agree, the greatest foreign policy president of my lifetime. And in 4 years, it's not even close when you consider one factor above all others. And I would say, I will say two things. I'll start this, Shattuck, and you can give me your take, or even Cullinane if he wants. Hey, we have, we're live on Facebook, so we can take answers from our viewers on Facebook Live. They're already chiming in on the comments. If you're Cullinane, you don't listen to the show. You just sit and read comments. He's like Dale Arnold looking at the text line.
Well, nobody's complimenting my looks today, so there's really
Look at the hair. I mean, honest to God.
They're talking about inauguration stuff. I don't care, whatever.
Why would you care? But, Trump's walking to the chopper. I know we got some people watching live, probably along with us. He's walking to the chopper with that hideous hag of a first lady. No wonder she was not on any any magazine covers. No wonder she wasn't a fashion icon. I mean, look at her.
Well, she's not used to being posing for the camera, Jerry, right. So it's not a natural thing that she's got any experience with. But the second man, you're going to hear a lot about him very shortly.
The second man. Kamala Harris has already been on more magazine covers, two, than Melania Trump, a supermodel, was on for 4 years. It amazes me. Why couldn't you just put her on the cover, have her looking beautiful and glamorous, and don't say anything about her husband, who they all hated? Just put her up there and say, isn't she gorgeous? Which she is, but whatever. We don't want to get sidetracked. We'll have plenty of time to worship the lovely, the gorgeous, the talented Kamala Harris.
One of the most inspiring things about the new Vice President Harris is that she eats no for breakfast. Did you realize
that? She eats no for breakfast. That was nauseating. Mm-hmm. The Jane Pauley interview, and I know it'll get topped 1,000 times, but if you want to just get sick at the slobbering sycophants in the media, watch Jane Pauley just fawning over Kamala Harris, who's accomplished nothing in her life. Nothing. I mean, she was picked because of her gender and her race. That's it. Everyone knows it. The ultimate, I shouldn't say the ultimate identity politics pick, because we will get to the assistant secretary of health. You want to see someone who was chosen just because of her identity? We'll get to Rachel Levine, and we should. Rachel Levine, who, I mean, she's not from Woburn, but her former self, her former identity, is from Woburn. And
is that true?
Yes, we have her high school yearbook picture. And she wasn't a female then, but she was a goofy looking high school guy.
When did she graduate from Woburn?
I don't know. I have her picture here. I don't know. Okay. Does that matter?
Maybe I knew her. I went to the Woburn Junior Prom when I was.
You dated her. She was a man.
Well, I don't know. I was. And trust me, time.
If you think she's not an attractive woman, she wasn't much better when she was a young male. But we'll get to Rachel Levine, the best foreign policy president for one reason above all others: no wars, no new wars. In fact, he tried to end the ones we were in. People like Liz Cheney and the Democrats tried to stop them. They like endless wars. There's lots of people in the Pentagon, lots of people in the military-industrial complex, people at Raytheon who don't want these wars to end. He tried to end them. He pulled some troops home. Hell, just the other day, our last of our troops were pulled out of Somalia. And every time I hear that, and before that, they were pulled out of Kenya. And I hear that and I go, why the hell are our troops in Somalia? Why are they in Kenya? What the hell are we protecting Kenya for? It drives me nuts that people are 100% against these foolish foreign wars, these wars that don't end, that have no meaning, that have no objective, no clear-cut way to win. He did his best to end those. You know why? Because it's just common sense. That's what people want. That makes him the best foreign policy president. On top of that, we have all those peace treaties in the Middle East, all the peace between Muslims and Jews in the Middle East, which is historic, which John Kerry said could never happen. We have all the countries in NATO, or most of them, finally paying their fair share. He did some great things in foreign policy, which were all, by the way, common sense. All he did was put our country first, which offends Democrats, globalists, but I don't care. That's what he was sent there to do, and that's what he did. That will be his crowning achievement, that there were no wars. I don't know if you saw that tweet. I retweeted it, that says that documents all the wars each president has been in, and everyone. I mean, Obama, there's like 20 of them, you know. Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and then you get to Trump. None. Zero. That's an amazing accomplishment. Very few coffins coming home, flag draped coffins coming home to widows and parents who've lost their kid. He didn't do that. That's a great thing.
You're right. And actually, you know, one of the few pieces of foreign intervention with the military he did do was to blow away a bunch of Russian mercenaries in Syria, because he was extremely tough with the Russians, which is something you weren't allowed to acknowledge because, you know, he was in Putin's pocket, according to the person who paid the Russians for fake intel. But you can't gloss over the idea of the peace in the Middle East, with these Gulf or Arab states. That is huge. What they've done now is not only have they normalized relations between these people in Israel, but culturally now, you know, in trade wise, they're intertwined. You know, they're creating a relationship that nobody ever thought was possible. And they're, you know, isolating Iran, which is the bad power out there who we've been fighting in proxy wars since 1979. So that is huge. And that was Pompeo. And, you know, that was an absolute coup that they did that. They made that happen. And Obama screwed that thing up with a stupid Iranian deal, which was only going to, you know, expedite their nuclear program, where somehow, even though the Ayatollah took Americans hostages for 444 days, we owed him money from the Shah time, so we paid him in cash. No, that was great. And I hope that Biden's not stupid enough to ruin that.
Well, the chopper is gone. He's gone, headed to Joint Base Andrews. No flag draped coffins there today. Just a president for a couple more hours headed to.
Was he dragged out by the military? Did that happen?
No, good point. No, good point. More lies from the left wings and from the media. He wasn't dragged out kicking and screaming. He didn't have like guards shooting. Nothing like that happened. Once again, all overblown, all exaggerated. He left quietly. He's the worst dictator ever. That's all I'm going to say. Worst dictator ever.
Authoritarian fascist,
correct. Didn't use the military. Allowed. The next guy is. Can you imagine if Trump used the military the way Biden is, with 26,000 National Guard troops everywhere in the city, shutting the city down, putting up fencing, putting up barbed wire, and giving the National Guard a loyalty test? Did you vote for me? And if they say no, they send them home. If they belong to the NRA, they send them home. Could you just imagine the outcry? Don Lemon's head would explode and get all kinds of, well, he's got no brains, but he'd get all kinds of goop on his pal Cuomo. It would be disgusting, but they would lose it. They would absolutely lose it if Trump ever did what Biden's doing, militarizing this transition for no reason other than to send a message that we are here and we're going to get you, all you domestic terrorists, all you white supremacists, all you MAGA people. We're coming for you. The hell with the foreign wars. We got a war here at home. It is going to get nasty. It's going to get ugly. It already has, in my opinion. But I think, people will say he tried to build the wall. He built some of the wall. He did his best on immigration. You know, he did the judges, obviously, three Supreme Court judges is amazing. You know what his real crowning achievement was, though, Shattuck, that I think we'll always remember? He stopped the Clinton crime family. He stopped, kept Hillary out of the White House. And now we know, some of us always knew, what kind of scoundrel she is. We're learning more every day. That's a great achievement to stop. By the way, he may have stopped two dynasty families because he stopped Jeb. Jeb thought he was going to the White House. He denied Jeb, and then he denied Hillary. That's pretty good.
Isn't that how we vote now? It's just who we hate more, right? Yes. People hated Hillary, so vote Trump. Now we hate Trump, so we vote the other guy. I mean, it's
just stop Hillary. That was the thing. I mean, that was that was an impossible feat. That was impossible. And people say, no, Hillary was deeply unpopular. Anybody could have beat her. Bull. Rubio could not have beat her. Ted Cruz could not have beat her. only Trump could beat her. After the media got through with those other candidates, they would be there would be nothing less left of them. Trump.
Right. And you're right. He changed the demographics where, you know, working class people voted for the Republican. Mm-hmm. The elite voted for, you know, Wall Street voted for the Democrat. That was true in this election as well. But you
outreach know, like to minorities, Ohio, which is Republicans never bothered. Voted. Right.
Go ahead.
Republicans never bothered speaking in the inner city to minorities. Trump invited more minority voices into the White House, historically black colleges. His outreach was extremely aggressive. Criminal justice reform could never happen under a Democratic president or a Republican president. It takes a unique kind of person who has a different value system, and only Trump could have done that. And so that's also something that's very unlike a white supremacist to be behind, by the way. I also wouldn't think a white supremacist would be pardoning Lil Wayne in the last few hours of this presidency. Oh,
we'll finish up with the pardons because I'm not happy with Bannon. He issued 143 clemency to 143 people. That's 73 pardons, 70 commutations. One is the founder of Death Row Records. I found this a little strange. The rumors were started yesterday. His name is Michael Hario Harris. Michael Harris, co-founder with Suge Knight. How do you say it?
Suge Knight.
Suge Knight. Yes. A scary man.
He was convicted of attempted murder. Trump commuted his sentence, to please Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg was his biggest advocate. He pardons the guy. Snoop Dogg, 3 years ago, made a music video where he pretends to shoot Donald Trump in the head. So Donald Trump just pardoned the guy as a favor to that guy. And if you're watching on Facebook, you see it. The fake Trump's got his hands up and with a fake gun, Snoop Dogg shoots him in the head. So he's doing a favor, throwing a bone to that guy, Snoop Dogg, but not to Julian Assange or Snowden or any number of other people who were pleading for a pardon. Hell, my best friend is in prison right now, and he was a huge Trump supporter, but that's a story for another day. He didn't get a pardon or a commutation.
He's addicted to celebrity, right? Didn't he help, like, Kim Kardashian's friend?
He did that. I didn't blame him because he was just hoping Kim Kardashian would come into the White House for a photo op and just rub up against him. That was the goal. And she did. And, you know, right. I think Alice Johnson was pleading for a pardon for that scumbag, Michael Harris. And he did it. And I don't know what that gets you. You know, Snoop Dogg is going to tweet something nice about you, but Snowden and Assange remain in not in prison, but in whatever you call where they are. Which is
too bad because, you know, they threw Pamela Anderson at him. You figure that would
have done. That's a good point. And I said this yesterday. She still looks good. She went on with Tucker. She looks good. She loves Assange, even though Assange doesn't bathe. It's a little strange. But I think she would have definitely returned the favor, Donald, if you had pardoned her guy. You should have. But the rumor was that I think Hannity reported that Mitch McConnell said, they're going full steam ahead on the impeachment trial if you pardon Assange. Mitch is a swamp creature. He's a piece of crap, too. I'm done with him. He lost, as far as I'm concerned. He lost the Senate. He should be replaced. There should be a new a minority leader in the Senate because he failed. But anyway, those are your pardons. No Tiger King. Snoop's happy. Lil Wayne's happy. Bannon's happy. The swamp is happy because Assange and Snowden remain in whatever isolation. They're not coming home. They will not be home to celebrate. But anyway, back to the legacy. I think the legacy is, like I said, he just disrupted things. We'll remember that. We'll remember obviously peace treaties in the Middle East, and we'll remember, you know, attempt to build a wall and remember the three judges. But more than anything, we'll say that was fun because he rattled these people. He pissed off a lot of people, and that's what he was put there for.
And I would say that the biggest benefit, and I liked the tax cuts, actually. They saved my bacon a couple of years ago. But the biggest benefit was exposing the establishment media as being the activists.
Exposing them. He drove them insane.
Well, right. But they were no longer able to keep the veneer of being non-biased journalists. You know, your girlfriend from the New York Times last night, nobody would have thought of ever saying something like she tweeted last night.
Hold on. Before we get to that, what are we obviously, we're not through with COVID. At noontime today, the clock starts over. Every death after noon, every person who dies after noontime today was murdered by Joe Biden. And you think I'm joking? I'm not. Joe Biden's rules, his own rules. He said in the debates or during the debate time that I think there were 200 something thousand people had died. He said they would all be alive if not for Donald Trump's incompetence. Every one of them is on Trump. So that's fine. Those are the rules. 400,000 have passed away with COVID. We're going to blame Trump for those. We have. Hell, Biden won the election with that strategy. At noontime today, every death is on Biden and Harris. Anyway, do we look back and think, obviously we know what the media is going to say, we know what the academia is going to say, but do we look back and say Trump failed in his COVID response? Because I can't think of a reason that that he failed. I mean, I think he did. One thing he did too much of was listen to the science, listen to fools like Fauci, but he's always going to get credit, I think, for the vaccine. So when it all ends, because of all the vaccines, we don't think Biden did it. We think Trump did. We know Trump did. He spearheaded the effort to fast track a vaccine. And if it works, if everyone gets vaccinated and it goes away, he gets credit, I think, historically for ending the virus.
No, because the Biden administration is going to rebrand Operation Warp Speed. He's also, you know, throwing a whole bunch of money now at the virus, the vaccine distribution, which is essentially just redundant to everything that Trump is doing, because the feds are doing what they're supposed to be doing. The benchmark to have 100 million doses in the next 3 months or whatever is not a hugely aggressive benchmark. That would have been reached anyway. But the media will give this, all of this credit to Biden, even though Operation Warp Speed, to do that, to create an incentive for businesses, instead of using the Defense Production Act, which is unneeded now, you know, Trump used capitalism and the free market to say, here, there's a pile of money right over there. Devote everything you have to getting us a vaccine. And the race was on, and that was brilliant. And that model for doing things like this is incredible. And that's all Trump. That's all Trump.
And nobody believes, not even like Dr. Jill or Hunter, believes that Joe Biden could have got it done. If he were president, Hillary were president, we'd still be waiting. Nobody could mobilize the private sector like Trump. So
It's a guy who goes into, you know what mindset is? It's a guy who goes into a restaurant and greases the host for a good seat. That's what Trump did, and that's where he comes from, and that's what. But they have eggheads. They have, you know, the Pod Save America bros would all sit around and throw ideas against the wall. They would never have come up with this idea. No,
the best example of that is Cuomo. So Trump gets the vaccine. We got it delivered to the states, and in some states, I saw the numbers in North Dakota. The numbers are great. They're getting people vaccinated. Florida. In New York, they're throwing vaccines away because the nurses who are administering it can't find anyone eligible. I mean, they could find people willing to take the vaccine, but they couldn't find anyone eligible. They had to be a first responder or a teacher or whatever, a minority. And there was no one there to fit they could find people, but no one there to fit the description. So they had to throw them away, which is so insane. But that's the bureaucracy. That's a tyrant like Cuomo who said, you must follow my rules or I'll fine you $1 million. As much as Trump got the vaccine done, we're seeing again the incompetence of the vile Andrew Cuomo. They're just the worst public servant I think we've ever seen. This has kind of shined the light on him and what a corrupt, egomaniacal monster he is.
Right, and that's a big city Democrat thing to do, a big state, blue state Democrat thing to do, is take this antagonistic approach to your own to your own citizens, saying, no, you think you're going to cut the line for vaccines? No. We're doing this in an orderly fashion. It's the same way that, like, Marty Walsh used to jack up parking fees in Boston constantly, and he would say, some people think they can come here and park all day, assuming they have the worst intentions, and people are parking all day to shop and buy stuff and go to restaurants, which are things we used to have in Boston. It's like this, no, you're not getting away with something. It reminds me of Bob Stanley when he used to pop all the beach balls in the the bullpen. You know, there's this thing, but this mindset that no, the residents, the citizens are getting away with something. And that's big government. We know better. You guys shut up. But Trump's big failure in the coronavirus, obviously his messaging wasn't good, but it was Fauci, keeping Fauci around. Fauci has been the most incompetent task force manager that this federal government has had, maybe since Kathleen Sebelius with the Obamacare.
Well, he's feeling good. His guy won. He's going to continue on at 80 years old.
He is an idiot. He has reversed course on almost every aspect of this with the distribution of the vaccine. That was all Fauci. He said, no, we're going to do it this way and not give out any extra doses. Wait till everybody gets two doses. You know, that was his completely. And now he's reversing course on that.
Well,
and he never has to explain anything. He never has to explain anything. He said, yeah, there were some challenges at the beginning to Chuck Todd. There were some challenges at the beginning, but I talked to some of the leaders in the ground and we figured it out now. He never has to explain.
No. And, you know, man of the year, he'll win awards. And whenever he retires, when he's like 112, he'll retire and there'll be parades and people say what a hero he is. That they don't want to face the truth that the guy was wrong about everything.
But Jerry, he's not going anywhere, remember? Because remember, we're also worried about these other variations of the disease coming. There's not only one in South America, but we see a few others. So it's like the hurricane season when you see the 18 hurricanes heading up to North America. They've got strains of the coronavirus scheduled for the next year and a half. And so that means if you have that means you need Fauci's. And that means also that you need to do some better masking, Jerry, which is the thing that you have to do, which means two masks going forward.
There will never be a day where Fauci says, okay, we're good here. Take your mask off. You can, you know, hug your mother. You can whatever, you know, go to a game, go to a concert. That day will never, ever come. I got, speaking of incompetent handling of the virus, there's Cuomo. He's the worst. There's nobody in his classification. He stands alone as just the most incompetent, egomaniacal leader during this time of crisis. He literally killed 12,000 senior citizens. He literally cost them their lives. That's no hyperbole. He put coronavirus patients in the nursing homes. We know that. People died, wiped out whole nursing homes, wiped out people, vulnerable people. And we hear from our girl Janice Dean all the time. She stays on top of him, keeping his feet to the fire. It doesn't matter. The media still loves him, no matter how many
seasons. She should stick with the weather, according to the Cuomo administration.
But I would put right up on that list, top of that list, one Rachel Levine. Rachel Levine is the public health secretary in Pennsylvania. Another absolute monster. She put coronavirus, we put her on the screen, this lovely Rachel. She put coronavirus positive patients in nursing homes, and she did Cuomo one better. She snuck her mother out of the nursing home in the dead of the night. That's her 95-year-old mother snuck her out, put the virus into the nursing home, killed thousands. And what's the response from the administration, the incoming administration? Let's promote her. This is this story is big, not because she's transgender. I just sent you guys her high school picture. You were curious, I believe. I sent it to both of you. You can find that. Cullinane. It was Richard Levine from Wakefield, and you think she's a goofy looking woman? Well, what do you see her as a man? Well, not a man. This is a boy. There he is. There's Richard Levine from Wakefield, Mass. Now the nominee to be the assistant, whatever, head of Secretary of Health. The only reason Biden named Richard, now Rachel Levine, to this post is because Rachel used to be Richard. That's the only reason. You could never look at a record, see what she did on COVID, and say, yeah, that's someone who should be rewarded. That's the insanity. That's the links they're taking identity politics, that they're naming this person to this post, this important post. And by the way, she has to go before the Senate for confirmation. We'll see if anyone has the guts to ask tough questions about what she did with her mother. You know what the excuse is when you, and I tweeted about it, and immediately you always get people from the other side, they said her mother made the decision on her own. So a 95-year-old resident of a nursing home, and I've spent some time in nursing homes, they get comfortable in their little space. They put their trinkets out. They have their blanket. They have their TV. They have their robe, their clothes. That woman said, you know what? I think I'm going to move into a hotel.
I'm going to strike out on my own.
It is the biggest lie, but whatever. You got to lie because otherwise she's got blood on her hands, and she does. She's only got this nomination because she used to be a man, and now she's a woman, and they want to advance as many minorities, people who many classes as they can. This is a protected class. These are transgender individuals. Congratulations to Rachel Levine. Now let's hear about your mom. Now let's hear about the way you handled COVID. I mean, maybe they'll never ask that because God knows people are afraid. They're afraid to get labeled transphobic or bigoted or whatever. So they'll probably give her the kid gloves treatment before the Senate. She'll slide through and become your assistant secretary of health. And no one will ever question her again about the way she snuck her mother out of the nursing home and watched thousands of elderly Pennsylvanians suffer and die. It's sickening. But anyway,
Jerry, I want a cabinet that looks like America.
Yeah, right. Wouldn't that be frightening? A cabinet that looks like the lovely Rachel. You know what? At least you can't accuse Biden of what I often accuse Trump of, is picking people based on how they look. You know, like what was the beautiful woman that was in the White House?
Hope Hicks.
Hope Hicks, yeah, Hope Hicks.
Hope Hicks, is that
yes?
Hope Hicks.
There are a few under Trump, actually.
There were a few. Trump picked, I mean, Kayleigh McEnany. Trump often was accused of picking people and based on how they look. I don't think you're going to get that from Biden. He's not just picking, perfect tens. He's, wants it to look like America, like you said, Shattuck.
And by the way, these are extensions of Biden's arms embracing America.
Yes, I'm going to get to that. You mentioned it earlier. We're going to get to the media. The media. I don't know. Initially, I was dreading the thought of these slobbering lapdogs just fawning over Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and everything about the new administration. It's just like, oh, who was the media person that said they're like avenging, they're like superheroes coming in to save us?
Yamiche Alcindor.
That was Yamiche Alcindor. That
publicly paid by you.
Public, yeah. She's on the dole. She's a welfare recipient from us, just like, Jim Browdy and the rest of them here in Boston. But anyway, these avenging angels, these superheroes have taken over. Today is their first day, and the media could not wait to slobber. There was a whole bunch of good examples yesterday. I mean, I'll mention it right off the top, New York Times. And I swear to God, I saw this and was going to start responding before I even looked at the description of the person. There's a picture of the Biden's plane landing at Joint Base Andrews. And this person, Lauren Wolf, says, "I have chills." Now, this isn't the president. This isn't him up at the inauguration taking the podium and saying, taking the pledge, taking this oath. This is just a plane, just an airplane on a runway. And she has chills. So I write, this is a freaking editor of the New York Times. They're getting thrills up their legs again. And she didn't like that. Lauren Wolf, the editor of the New York Times, she said, "Oh, don't you ever get excited about historic events? I feel sad for you if you don't." And I said, responded to Lauren and said, "Yeah, how about that historic event 4 years ago when Donald Trump got sworn in? I'll bet you didn't get a thrill up your leg then, did you?" And you know what she did in response? She deleted her account. I'm not taking full credit because she obviously got bombarded with responses, but Lauren Wolf, a editor of the New York Times with 35,000 followers, her bio is former columnist, foreign policy, woman under siege is a website she wrote for, and she's proud that she was blocked by Trump. She deleted her account because people were responding like me and saying, "You're getting thrills up your leg because of an airplane." I can't imagine how moist Lauren is today that the actually we're going to see Kamala, her hero, Kamala and Joe taking the oath of office. But that's
it is remarkable, though, Jerry, that people are getting thrilled. I understand people are thrilled because they hate Trump and he's leaving. But if you're thrilled over Joe Biden,
they're not.
That's crazy. It's like
Tom, here's something I said 2 months ago, and I stand by it. 2 months ago, I said nobody voted for Joe Biden. Nobody. There were 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump, and 80 million people have voted against Donald Trump. Simple as that. Nobody. I don't even think Hunter voted for Joe Biden. He voted against Donald Trump. This is the least popular president. You got the most votes ever. But a guy, you saw his rallies, you saw when he made speeches in public, you know, when he did live streams from Delaware, there'd be like, you know, 300 people watching. He's got no,
yes,
there's no passion, there's no enthusiasm, none, zero. They're just enthusiastic about saying goodbye, getting rid of Donald Trump. That's
right,
it.
Right. And Lauren Wolf and so many other people, all these people who are casting judgment about, you know, the Trump wackos, are the same people who on this day 4 years ago had female genitalia hats that they wore as they took their children while they wore these to protest the president because the Handmaid's Tale was coming true. It, you know, it's funny. What this has already done already with Lauren Wolf and all these other people, all these really moral media people, is it's shown just it was all a fraud. Like we knew. Right. They never cared about immigration. They never cared about, you know, the lower classes, minorities. You wouldn't have jacked up the minimum wage if you did that. They never cared about any of these issues. You know, right now, the number one issue, if Donald Trump was president right now, would be that the Trump administration is telling the caravan of Hondurans, you can't come in. Because remember how cruel that was? Remember, right. Remember four years ago, Jerry, that broke, you know, the foundational document that this country was founded on?
What you're proposing, or what the president is proposing here, does not sound like it's in keeping with American tradition when it comes to immigration. The Statue of Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Remember the Statue of Liberty? Give me your poor. That was the law back then. Lauren Wolf and all these other people said, yes, it says give me your poor. That's what this country, the very fabric of this country. Well, Biden said, go to hell to these Hondurans.
They admitted, I forget who was nominated before the Senate yesterday. Was it the new HHS? One of the nominees admitted Obama built the cages. He said that before the Senate. I mean, there was no coverage of it, but he said they're the ones that put the kids in cages, Obama and Biden. You won't see that covered, even though it was in front of the Senate under oath. But that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with just an awful group of people.
Well, let's not Washington move past that, Jerry. Let's not move past that. The cages was the most horrific thing since Japanese internment, they told us. Well, now, because the cages were, you know, the law said that crossing illegally, not at a point of entry, was a criminal act. So the law says that you have to arrest somebody doing that. And the courts say that if you arrest somebody doing that, like if you arrested you, that you can't have the kids incarcerated with the parents.
Especially if that kid's not yours. You're just pretending and using it.
Well, now Biden's got the executive and the legislative branches. He's got both houses of Congress. Now, since this is the most important thing in the world, I assume they'll pass some immigration reform on this right now so that the Border Patrol doesn't separate kids from parents, unless they're going to encourage them just to flout the law, which is what they're going to do because they never cared. They never cared about the kids in cages.
Trump and Melania are boarding Air Force One. Mark Meadows is there to say goodbye. Almost nobody else. I don't understand why people like Pence couldn't do this ceremony and be at the inauguration. They got, you know, 3 hours. I guess security's too tight, but whatever. Trump, you know, came in as an outlaw, as a renegade, and he's going out as one. There's no swamp creatures there. They all said, you know, Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and the rest of them, they're like, oh, good, get rid of him. Now we can all be one big party, one big, you know, establishment again. But we got to get to a couple more media people who are just losing it. They're just so giddy. neither Trump nor Melania wore a mask. Everyone else at the Joint Base Andrews has got a mask. God, he's just such, already had the virus. They both already had the virus. They don't need masks. They're outdoors. But someone on CNN or MSNBC pointed out today, they went to the event at the Air Force at Joint Base Andrews and didn't wear masks. How awful. I want to get to the worst slobbering fool in the media. And we got to get Tom Shattuck's picks for the two playoff games this week. Tom Shattuck, so far in the playoffs, he's picked all the games. He's 17-0. He's just on an amazing run, amazing roll. And we're going to tell you one store. I don't want to say we're going to boycott the store, but you know what? I'm going to stay out at the store, and I'm going to tell you why. But first, let me tell you about Shea Concrete. This is for you homeowners and home builders. Shea Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps for you. Whether you're building a new home or you need to replace an old staircase in an old home, Shea has great values and designs for any home. Available in concrete, you can customize with beautiful stone, granite, or brick. I would recommend the blue stone. You can do that now, today. A new staircase could dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home. In most cases, they can remove the old stairs and have you walking up the new stairs within hours. And just like that, your home looks better and it's worth more and you don't have to do a damn thing. You can sit in the window and watch them. They can do it on a cold day. They can do it on a windy, snowy, crappy day. It doesn't matter. They'll do all the work. You end up with a new set of steps and a house that's worth more. It's an investment. It's not an expense. It's an investment. You can learn more about Shea's precast concrete steps at SheaConcrete.com or just stop in at one of their state-of-the-art facilities all over New England. That is SheaConcrete.com. I know you're doing the math. You have your formula for your NFL games and you're running all the numbers. And while you do that, I want to mention a guy. I've seen him before, but I never knew who he was. This is tough competition. Today, this week, if you're going to out-slobber, you know, Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo, you're going to out-slobber Joe Scarborough and you know, Mike Barnicle and the rest of these Trump-hating, Biden-loving stooges. It's not easy. You really have to go above and beyond today to win the, you know, slobber off. But this guy, David Chalian, do you know who David Chalian is?
Yes.
He's, I mean, a man after your own heart. He's husky. He buys his clothes in the husky section.
He's a fatter stelter, really.
He's a fatter stelter. He's got more hair, but more girth than stelter. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't sound quite as, you know, effeminate. You know, he's got, but he was talking about watching the ceremony, I guess, on the mall, the National Mall with all the lights. They put lights and flags in the National Mall because there weren't going to be any people there and it was going to be embarrassing. So they decided to make it off limits to people and plant flags and pretend it was about whatever, COVID. It's really just a way to save face. Bring in troops because, you know, the Klan might disrupt the thing and then plant flags and lights and tell people they can't come. They weren't going to come anyway, but this is a way to save face. Anyway, David Chalian didn't see lights up and down the National Mall. He saw Joe Biden's loving arms.
Or what we've been through throughout 4 years of the Trump presidency. And the contrast on display tonight was so stark. I mean, those lights that are just shooting out from the Lincoln Memorial along the reflecting pool, it's like almost extensions of Joe Biden's arms embracing America. It was a moment where the new president came to town and sort of convened the country in this moment of remembrance, outstretching his arms.
I understand that they're all in this together. I understand they're like a cult. You know, I'd compare them to a cult, the way they think. All these people in MSNBC and CNN, they're just a Trump-hating cult, and they can't, as I said, out-slobber one another. It's impossible. This guy, does he have an editor? Does he have a producer? Does anyone there in his ear tell him?
He is the editor. He's the political director.
He's
the Lauren Wolf of CNN.
This guy is like the boss. And the rest of them are going to try and top him today and say, what do you think, boss? You know, they're going to say, look at the Washington Monument. It soars to the heavens, kind of like Joe Biden's way to reach up to God and bring us all together. They're going to just lose it today and every day for the next 4 years or the next whatever, eight months or whatever the Biden however long Biden remains in office, it's going to be nauseating.
And the lack of like irony in the sentence as well. It's like Joe Biden's arms wrapping around people has been a problem, by the way, including young people and wives of police officers, among others. It's like, come on.
You know, when I look at that, that's the statue, I think I'm like Lincoln statue. You know, I think of Joe Biden reaching out and sniffing Lincoln's hair. Does that remind you of that at all?
That's right.
I mean, that's what he would do. If Lincoln were here, he would sniff his hair. It's just going to be sick.
But also, he said, you know, after what we've been through for the past 4 years, these insane people have actually convinced themselves that they lived through a Nazi occupation for 4 years. Right. They were oppressed and repressed and pursued and abused. They think they actually went through it. You know, and they acted it out. They put the little lawn signs out front to show that we were under siege, and they you know did all the stuff, but dressing like handmaids and wearing their stupid hats, etc., to show us that they were being victimized. Meanwhile, the last 4 years, except for this last year of a pandemic, which is not Trump's, the 3 years before that were a booming success for this country. You know, their own mental health.
I think it was the Globe. I think it was the Globe that tweeted out Trump was the worst person ever, the worst approval rating ever as he leaves office, which was just a bold-faced lie. His approval rating's 51%. It didn't drop at all after January 6th, which surprised me. And his approval rating among Republicans is 87 or 88%. They just lie. And then they were attacking Pompeo yesterday too as, you know, a failure as a Secretary of State. I think it was the New York Times or the Globe. And I'm thinking, how could you judge Pompeo as a failure by any standard? I mean, just the Middle East peace treaties alone and the lack of war alone, you would say that's a hell of a run for a Secretary of State.
Because this established media, Jerry, like we've been talking about, they care about the symbolism. And remember, it's that the rest of the international community didn't respect us anymore and didn't like us. It's like that, if you actually wanted to look at the international community, you would look at the Gulf Arab states who, when abandoned by President Obama, disdained him so much that they said, screw you, United States. We're going to make friends with Israel. You know, it's like this.
No, that's true. Those days are over. In case,
yes. Now,
any of my Jewish friends, and I ask them all the time, you know, Jewish liberals, friends, I mean, what? Why do you hate Trump? And you're not going to like this next administration, what they're going to do. I mean, this was the best friend Israel ever had.
Right.
You know, Obama tended to err on the side of, you know, the mullahs. Trump did the opposite. You're not going to like this is, you know, essentially Obama's third term.
Right. You couldn't. Like, yes, you couldn't move the embassy to Jerusalem, right, Jerry, because you would upset the Arab street. Well, the Arab street now is allied with Israel due to President Trump. Go ahead.
A couple more things I want to get to, Shad, before you make your picks. You were texting me about this because I laughed out loud. It was good news, in my opinion. Fox News laid off Chris Steigerwald. And if you're not sure who Chris Steigerwald is, he was this big, bloated, kind of animated guy who was a political editor. I don't think he was a big fan of Trump, and he was giddy when he predicted Arizona would go to Biden. It was way early, way premature. It upset a lot of people, and he didn't care. He was rooting for Biden. He got laid off yesterday. Chris Steigerwald, he used to wear a bow tie. Anyway, he's gone. I'm hoping Chris Wallace is the next one out the door. Mm-hmm. I think Chris Wallace did a lot of helped his guy Biden as much as anyone. In that first debate, it was an awful, biased, you know, performance, and I can't stand the sight of Chris Wallace. I'll never watch Chris Wallace again. I'm not calling for him to get fired or boycott his show. I just can't stand the guy, and I hope Fox wakes up because they are slumping big time in the ratings and realizes that the biggest culprit here is Chris Wallace. We'll see if he gets the boot. I hope he does, but whatever.
Right.
But Chris Steigerwald is on the street. He's out.
That's a huge.
Didn't he co-anchor a bunch of things with Dana Perino, who's insanely high on, right, at Fox Nation?
They did a podcast together.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, which I subscribe to, actually. I like the podcast. But they as that is a big sign. The moment you take out Star Walt, because he is – not only is he an X's and O's guy, but he is not an adherent to the MAGA world. And, yeah, they're going all in MAGA now. Bartiromo's getting a new gig. She'll be on at 7 p.m.
Well, it, you think
she's trying out for that spot. Yeah, she's trying
she's
out.
Trying for out for Brian Kilmeade. I'd put those as the two favorite, Kilmeade and Bartiromo, because she's good. You're right. She's a good – and the MAGA people like her.
Right.
But it's amazing. I mean, I still obviously watch Tucker. I watch Lawrence. They've been good. But the number of people who bailed on them since the election is incredible.
Don Lemon's beating Fox.
Don Lemon's beating – there are shows on CNN – right, Don Lemon. Shows that never got traction. Shows on MSNBC are beating Fox. They made a big mistake. You know, when they allowed Chris Wallace to go out there and assist his buddy Biden in that debate. Big mistake. And then they never were honest about it. They didn't even let people like Hannity or Tucker tell the truth about Chris Wallace. What a snake he is. But
yeah, and now it's going to be just a recruiting frenzy. Can you imagine? If you're Kayleigh McEnany, your value is going through the roof right now because Fox will definitely want her.
Oh, so you don't agree with Stephen King? Stephen King says her next job will be as a cocktail waitress in Tampa. Stephen King is one of the most detestable people. I will never, ever touch another Stephen King book. By the way, the worst, single worst book I've ever read in my life, the single worst book is The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon, an absolute piece of garbage that Stephen King wrote in like a day and a half just for the money. It's awful. There's no point to it. It's just a girl who was lost in the woods listening to the radio. And as if the girl wasn't suffering enough, she was stuck with the radio listening to Joe Castiglione. And that's all. That's the whole book. There's nothing to it.
Jerry, the worst book I've ever read. He's a legitimate, he's like you and I, because he sits in the loge box seats at Fenway up in the 17th row. You know, he's in there. He likes to sit with the people. No, he sits in the
box seats. And you know, when people try to meet him or shake his hand or get an autograph, he blows them off. He's a mean, cranky old man who is a sexist and a classist.
Yeah. Jeff Jacoby had a good response to that and saying how sexist that tweet was.
Well, a young blonde woman can only be a cocktail waitress or a stripper, according to Stephen King, I assume.
Typical elitist punk. Honest to God, I hate Stephen King.
But also, doesn't it just show you how close to being misogynists all these progressives are? Close. Doesn't take much.
No, right. So he's Chris Steinwall's gone. Hopefully Chris Wallace will soon be behind him. And Kayleigh McEnany, you're right, she'll be a star somewhere. I'm sorry, Stephen King. She's not going to be waiting tables. As much as you'd like to do is you'd like to pat her on the ass and say, sweetheart, you know, go get me another Chablis. That ain't going to happen, you goon. Anyway,
Stephen Miller could get a gig.
I gave credit. Stephen Miller will be a think tank guy or whatever. He'll.
Yeah. Well, all these guys can be lobbyists now, right?
That's right.
Trump won't wait 5 years anymore. That's great. Trump
signed a waiver so they can go out and be lobbyists, which is bizarre. But a week ago I tweeted. I think I said maybe with you, Shattuck. I said go to Bed Bath and Beyond because they were standing strong. They were getting pressured by the cancel culture, woke mob, the usual suspects were pressuring Bed Bath & Beyond to discontinue, to not sell MyPillow because, you know, Mike Lindell liked Trump. Mike Lindell wasn't a liberal, so they had to ruin him. He has 2,000 employees. He manufactures all his products in the United States, in Minnesota, his home state. It's a great entrepreneurial success story, but they hate that. They don't like that. They don't like small business. They want to crush him. They want to ruin him. They pressured Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's. And Bed Bath & Beyond initially stood strong. They sold out. They buckled. They bowed to the mob. They said they won't sell his product anymore. So I'm saying I'm never, ever going to Bed Bath & Beyond again. It's going to be tough because, you know, I love the store. I love the pillowcases.
It's great for the – that's like where you get your As Seen on TV products. You know what I mean? Like, that's a great store for that. So unfortunately, MyPillow is a mostly As Seen on TV type product.
They were also early in the SodaStream game too, actually.
I don't know what that means, but I'm out. I'm out on Bed Bath & Beyond. The latest – and I know you were following the story closely. The latest on one of Cullinane's heroes, Jared Porter, former – Thayer, hockey player, Bowden, hockey player, who became a baseball executive, became a GM. All his dreams came true. He's the general manager of the Mets. Then we found out he was sending dong pictures to a reporter who didn't reply. What is worse, by the way, sending the dong picture or sending 62 unsolicited response text messages?
Yeah, so sending none of his
responses when she wants nothing to do with you, and all you do is text her over and over again. Which is worse?
I know, Jerry. So none of his pings got any positive feedback. So he decides to take a shot at the end zone anyway, and like the. I mean, it's bold, I guess. I don't know. I just don't know that, like, I don't know that. I feel bad for the guy. How can you? He's
going to
be
bad for the
I don't understand.
Hold on. You feel bad for the guy? What is this, something you do regularly? Is it that you have a, why would you feel bad?
Well, that's 65 or 66. That's when you resort to.
More in the 30 range. That was
this isn't even one drunk text. This is weeks of just pestering this poor woman, harassing.
First of all, Jerry, I've been accused of being even overweight and sometimes unsightly when shirtless, and you still manage in America to find romance. It happens, you know. So the fact that this guy, with his job, you know, in all his trappings, couldn't manage to get a date. That's terrible.
Well, you know what? The bad news is he sent her a dong picture. The good news is belly is so big he couldn't see it. It was just hanging over him. I guess he's, you know, a little out of shape. Maybe it was tough to find love. And maybe she was, I don't know, spectacular looking. We haven't seen her. We don't even know her name. That's not going to come out. She was reluctant to go forward. But when he got the big job, she said two reasons. She said he got the big job, so he had a lot of power, and she was afraid he was doing this to other women, and he was never sufficiently apologetic. He never really apologized, so she said, well, I'm going to ruin your life, and I don't blame her. I mean, the guy was...
Well, no, and the Chicago Cubs employee kept asking her if she was going to press charges and shit like that, so that not only did he not apologize, but he was almost like, you know, trying to scare her. To some extent, I guess it's kind of guessing if he knew that was going on, but it's not a good look from all.
I would say the Cubs need, the Mets need a new search committee, because whoever vetted the guy didn't do a very good job.
Yeah, I'd throw ESPN, that question in from now on.
Everyone at ESPN knew about this. Everybody. It was common knowledge that he did this, and the Mets hire him anyway. And a month later, the thing blows up on them and they fire him. And I guess you could say, you know, his life is over as he knew it, because he's not going to be a GM. And everybody thinks he's a pervert. But have you heard from anyone that like knew him from around here? He obviously a lot of white privilege work in his Shattuck. He grew up in Duxbury, went to Thayer Academy, and then went to Bowdoin. Talk about the triple header of white privilege. That's a pampered little rich kid who probably was used to getting his way.
Yeah, you know what? I'm switching my hypothesis, Jerry, that this was not a Hail Mary attempt to get her to like him. This was him just wanting her to in any way at all be intimate with him. So it's like he was flashing her, essentially. And he wanted to know that somewhere she was reacting to that picture of a thing, and that's what that little scrap of thrill was what he went away with, Jerry.
How many texts did you think it would take to win her over? I mean,
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I've done the call the person 153 times thing when I was like 22. I remember a beautiful Beacon Hill.
He's 41. He's not 22. Right. He's 41. He's a grown man and he's a fool. And I feel no sympathy for him at all. He'll have to start all over. One of his friends in the game will give him a job, minor league director or something. And he'll go anonymously to work in whatever Topeka for some minor league team. And eventually he'll work his way back to the big leagues, but he'll never be general manager of the New York Mets again. That was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and he blew it because he couldn't
resist. Can you come back in?
Pictures of the bulge in his pants.
Can you come back in? Like Jeffrey Toobin can't do anything anymore. I mean, I don't think you can recover from that. I mean, maybe Louis C.K. can, because he very openly talked about what he did and said, yeah, I'm a sick bastard who likes to do this. And he's comedian whose entire narrative is about how wretched he is. But for this guy, he can't get another gig. He can't do, like, yeah, this guy's eminently qualified, except for just one thing, by the way, that we need to look. I mean, there's no legal department that's going to say, let's bring this guy in the door.
In this day and age, not going to happen. Maybe, you know, 30 years ago, but not now. Not now. And there's nobody defending him, nobody excusing him. There's no excuse for it. You know, you can't come and say, well, you know, she did this or, you know, he thought that. I mean, he just, everybody knows he harassed her, he stalked her, and then he sent a stock photo of someone else's wiener to her. That's the only excuse he has. It wasn't mine.
Right. And, and there's no quarter for it because women find it disgusting and guys don't respect it. If he said, okay, I drunkenly made a pass at her, a guy could say, I understand. You had a bad day. We've been there. But for that
particular let's not speak for all women. Some people, I mean, it happens. So some women do like that. And I don't understand those.
True? I don't believe. I don't believe too many. It's a disgusting thing. A penis is not an attractive thing.
Correct. Sorry,
it just isn't.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Anyway, before we get to, before we say goodbye, move on and, usher in a new era of civility and decency, which is what I think we're going to get now, Shattuck. Now that we get rid of the big bad orange man, we can all celebrate civility, decency, and unity. And if you sons of bitching white supremacist Nazi mother don't play along, we're going to crush you, okay? That's my vow. Two games this week, the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game. I'm not going to tell you who's in it, but you have to pick a winner. Who do you like?
Naturally, I picked your Tampa Bay Buccaneers by 10.
Whoa.
Last week.
Oh, okay.
And
you did. That's right. You nailed that.
Correct. And I like to say that this week, Jerry, they're playing what I call the frozen tundra.
Ooh.
And Brady operates well. If you remember the 2007 season versus the Jets at Gillette, Brady operates well in poor weather conditions. You are going to see again, Jerry, a 10-point win by your Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Whoa. Wow. 10-point win. They're underdogs, and obviously Green Bay's home, and Aaron Rodgers is on a roll, and he's MVP. But you're picking Tom Brady, as am I. I can't pick against him. But Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think we all agree, Patrick Mahomes is playing. They gave him the baseline test for concussion. I think he cheated, but he passed. And he will be under center, which is a good thing. We all want to see Mahomes play against Josh Allen. Who do you like? The Buffalo Bills at Kansas City.
I call the Bills fans the Bills Mafia, Jerry.
Ooh.
And I'm going to tell you that I call them the dogs, meaning underdogs, are going to edge out the Chiefs by 3. Bills win.
Wow. Picking both the dogs. That might catch on. The dogs. Road dogs. Why don't you call them road dogs? You're picking both the road dogs. I am too, by the way, I think, unless I change my mind. It's only whatever it is, Wednesday. But I'm writing that. Colleen's writing that down. We're going to keep track. So far, what is Shattuck in his pick? 17-0?
He's 17-0. He's our football guy. I mean, that's why we go to him on these.
He is. Look at him. He looks like a football guy. He looks kind of like Richie Incognito.
He texted me last night. He said that Tom Brady is going to win by 10 again because he's going to be so motivated after seeing Linda Holiday reply to somebody on Instagram. That was his take yesterday.
Right. All right. It's over. The Donald Trump era, the crazy, wild 4 years, the ride he took us on has ended. We are now watching, the cameras are all following everybody coming into the Capitol, preparing to inaugurate Joe Biden, our 46th president, and Kamala Harris, our 47th president. We're not sure.
Jerry, before we go, very quickly, I know that every year, 4 years, you always tell me that the favorite part of the inauguration for you is the poem.
Poem, right?
I do have a piece of this year's poem. It's written by Amanda Gorman, Jerry.
One of my favorites.
One of your favorites. And here's just one stanza or whatever they call it.
We've seen a force that would shatter our nation rather than share it, would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy. And this effort very nearly succeeded. But while democracy can be periodically delayed, it can never be permanently defeated.
So that's legitimately part of the poem, Jerry.
Do you remember the Barack Obama poet? It was the funniest thing. We used to play it on the radio constantly. It was, put down your pencils.
Yes.
Oh, it's just embarrassing. Can I just be honest with you? Mm-hmm. Poetry sucks. Everybody knows it. Nobody disagrees. Everyone knows it. Some people pretend they like poetry, but if that's poetry, that's awful. Any sixth grader could write that. But you're right. Maybe it'll be the fun, the highlight of today's ceremony, have some poet go up there and do a poem that doesn't even rhyme. I mean,
Michael, it doesn't rhyme, and that poem that we just heard is all literal. It's just observations. You know, it essentially could be a news copy. But this woman who wrote that is 22 years old. It is going to be praised. She will be written up for the next week as powerful words, Jerry, at a time when we needed to hear them.
Let me guess. She's a woman. She's a woman of color. She's transgendered. She's got like handicap. She's blind. She's an orphan. Well, I mean, she's got to have all kinds of boxes you checked, right? Or Biden would have picked her.
She doesn't come from the Callahan place of privilege, Jerry.
No, but it is glorious. We get to see that evil monster dictator, that authoritarian thug, quietly get on the chopper, then get on a plane and leave. And now we get to watch the uniter.
Just like Hitler did, Jerry. Right?
Just like Hitler. Just like Pol Pot did and Mao did. He quietly got on a plane and he allowed the next guy to move into the Oval Office and move into the White House. And the next guy, who's a uniter, who's going to reach his arms out like lights and put it around the country and crush out any opposition, any dissent. He's going to use the military. They're going to vet people in the military. And if they didn't vote for him, they're going to kick him out of the military. It's just so good. It's so good to welcome, to usher democracy back into our lives.
Yes. He's going to reach his arms out, Jerry, like he did when he was naked coming out of the shower and chasing the dog to pull his tail.
That don't call Tara Reid that dog. She's that lovely lady, a lovely lady. But all right, we will we'll recap it all tomorrow. We're going to watch as much as I can stomach today.
Ooh, Jerry, I have a tease for you tomorrow.
It's history.
What? President Trump did leave a note for Joe Biden. The contents are not known.
He did? If that doesn't have just a drawing of a big middle finger, I'm going to be disappointed. I don't want Trump to pretend to play along with this charade. Biden tried to ruin him. Biden lied about him. They got the full force of the swamp to try to destroy Trump, and they succeeded. Big tech, big media, they all collaborated, and they destroyed the evil orange man. They won. He lost. It's over. Let's not pretend everything was on the level. It wasn't. And it's going to get ugly, man. I mean, this could be our last podcast. Big tech is coming for all of us. It's going to get ugly and nasty. But hey, that's democracy, you know? That's America. I would add my voice to lots of people who say, we enjoyed it, Donald J. Trump. I enjoyed it. It was a wild, eventful ride. And there'll never be anything like it again. I know you'll talk. People talk about coming back in 4 years. I don't think so. You'll be 78. Enjoy the golf course. Enjoy whatever social media outlet you find. Hopefully, he'll be on Parler or somewhere lashing out, because I know he's got a lot to say. And whenever he writes a book, that's going to be the best-selling autobiography of an ex-president ever. It's going to be insane. He's got some scores to settle. And if I know Donald Trump, he is going to settle them all. It's going to get wild. As somebody said on Twitter, this is good, we've moved into the Layla phase. Do you know what that means?
Yes, the Clapton.
Have you seen Goodfellas? Yes. We've moved into the Layla phase. It's time for Trump to settle all the scores. Private citizen Donald Trump. It's going to be wild. But it was a hell of a ride. Anyway, thanks to Donald J. Trump. Thanks to Tom Shattuck. Thanks to Shea Concrete and Allied Paving and DCU and GovX and to Dave Cullinane. Anything else?
Quickly, sports news before we go. Number 17 retires after 17 season.
Ooh, Philip Rivers?
Done.
Done?
Oh, yeah. Dang.
Philip Rivers is the best number 17 in NFL history. That's how rare 17 was. Is not a great number, but he's worn it well. He had a great career. He's a Hall of Famer. Didn't win any Super Bowls, but he put up numbers.
Just LT quit on him, Jerry. That's why.
But that's another guy that Tom Brady has outlasted. It's remarkable. He's going to outlast all three of those guys. They went in the same first-round class, Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, 4 years after Brady or 5 years, and they're going to be done, all of them before him. He's going to outlast everybody.
Wild.
He's gonna, as Reamer pointed out, he's going to outlast Cam Newton, Cam Newton, who's 12 years younger than Brady. Brady's going to outlast him. It's remarkable. But anyway, we're all in on Brady this weekend. We're all rooting for him to make it to one more Super Bowl. Something different. Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. But all right, that's it for today. Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2021, an historic day. We'll recap it tomorrow. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Podcast, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
I don't. Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.